Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
That I have noticed about myself and about other people. It's hard to receive from God when you feel unworthy. It's hard to receive from God when you feel like trash. When you feel like you've been trampled on. When you feel like you've been messed up. When you feel like you ain't done enough. When you feel like you ain't worked enough for it. For some reason we think we've got to work for his goodness. Right? You know, we've been talking about being connected throughout this year. If y'all enjoyed this year, I mean, we've learned so much about being connected. You know, the first part of the year, we talked about being connected to God. The second part of the year, we have been talking about being connected to the body. And I want to back up just a little bit and go back to the first of the year for just a moment. And I want to talk about to you today how we are connected to God through Christ and his righteousness. And, you know, I preached a series of messages on the righteousness of Christ about 3 years ago. And I'm not going to preach the whole series again, but I do want to touch on some of the main points of how we are connected through Christ and his righteousness. Because until we get that, until we feel worthy, until as long as we're feeling unworthy and undeserving, it's hard to receive God's goodness. It's hard to receive God's blessings on our life because we don't feel good enough, right? And I want to touch on some of the main points on how we are connected through Christ and his righteousness. And we've grown tremendously since 3 years ago when I preached on this subject. So there are a lot of new people here in the church. There are a lot of new faces here in the church. And there are people that are here today that I believe need to hear this and know who they are in Christ and what their identity is in Christ so that they can receive what God has for them. Amen? Amen. Preach, Pastor Marty. All right, let's get started. How many of you know who Yogi Berra is? Not that Yogi. Yogi Berra, not Yogi Bear. Yogi Berra. He was the, of course, Landon does. Him and his New York Yankee self. He was one of the most famous catchers to play for the New York Yankees back in the mid-40s to the mid-60s. And he shared this nugget of wisdom one time. And if you're taking notes today, you need to take notes, at least, if anything, just to write down these scriptures that I'm going to give you, because these scriptures are going to change your life. But Yogi Berra said this statement one time. He said, if you don't know where you are going, you will wind up somewhere else. That's deep, isn't it? Clear as mud, right? You're like, well, duh. Duh. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to wind up somewhere else, of course. And that sounds pretty elementary when you first hear it, but it's actually a pretty weighty statement in our context today. because we need to know where we're going. We need to know who we are in Christ. And you see, a great majority of Christians, and by the way, Nate and Amanda, good to see you guys. I love you guys. It's good to see y'all today.
Amen.
But a great majority of Christians today, they're trying to get to heaven on their own. They're trying to work their way into heaven. They're trying to be good enough under their own power. Can I mess with your theology today? They're trying to be good enough under their own power, and they're trying to keep the law, and they're failing miserably at keeping the law. Working for his promises. Trying to do it under their own righteousness, so to say. And we just can't do that. We can't do it. It's impossible. As a matter of fact, that I believe the word would call that self-righteousness. And I believe if you look in the book of Revelations, he talks to a church called Laodicea. The word Laodicea, one of the meanings of Laodicea is self-righteous. And he warns the church of Laodicea about how they are living. And we can't do it. We can't live and we can't make it on our own self-righteousness. And that is not how a new covenant believer is supposed to live. The only righteousness that is real is what Jesus Christ himself has gifted to us. If you've got your Bible, look in the book of Romans. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation some and the New King James some, so y'all just hang on. But in the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, my beloved brothers and sisters, the passionate desire of my heart and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they love God, they're devoted to the work of his kingdom, and they're devoted to God, it says, they are unenlightened. And since they've ignored, what have they ignored? Since they've ignored the righteousness God gives, wanting instead to be acceptable to God because of their own works. Because of their own works. They've refused to submit to God's faith righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law. And because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness. Whose perfect righteousness? His perfect righteousness to all who believe. Believe what? That Jesus fixed it. This is not what I was taught growing up. I was not taught this growing up in the church that I was brought up in. All I knew about grace was that something that you said right before a meal. Lord bless this food and bless the establishment. Got to throw in bless the establishment. That's all I was taught about grace, except, wait a minute, hold on, one more time. I'm just a lowly sinner saved by grace. We've all said that. We've all said that at some time or another. We've been taught, we've heard that taught, at some time or another. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Public service announcement. If you are born again today, you are not a lowly sinner saved by grace. If you are born again today, your past is no more. Jesus fixed it by taking your sin upon himself. You don't have it anymore. You don't have your past anymore. You don't have your past mistakes anymore. It's not yours anymore. You were guilty. You were trash. You had made mistakes, but you have now been set free by the blood of Jesus, and your past is no longer. You are righteous. You are bought by grace. But if you still see yourself as a lowly sinner, you don't understand grace and righteousness. And believe me, I have wrestled with this in my life. I'm telling you this from firsthand experience of what goes on between these 6 inches of flesh sometimes in my head, which is my strongest adversary, right? It ain't demons, it's my flesh. I have authority over demons. But this 6 inches of flesh that keeps on me all the time that says you ain't good enough. I ain't, but he is. And he is in me. And he is working through me. And he has given me his righteousness. And I believe that it keeps me from receiving God's best for me sometimes, because I don't feel worthy enough to receive it. And if you still see yourself as unworthy, if you still see yourself as defeated, you are still trying to live under that law of bondage. And Paul says that you're just an unenlightened to righteousness. But the grace of the cross broke all of that off of you. It broke all of that off of you. See, the law, self-effort. Anytime you see the law in the Word of God, you can say self-effort, because we try to do it ourselves. The law says, man, I messed up. Man, I messed up. I sure hope my daddy don't find out. I need to hide. I need to cover myself in fig leaves. I need to hide from God. The law says that. But the grace of the cross says, man, I messed up. I need to go to my daddy right now, because he fixed it. Because Jesus took your guilt and your shame upon himself, and he gifted you his righteousness. That is not what I was taught growing up. All I knew about it when I was growing up is your righteousness is filthy rags. And my righteousness is as filthy rags. But that's what was driven into me. You're just filthy rags. Your righteousness is filthy. I was never taught that God, through Jesus Christ, has made me righteous. All I was ever taught is that you are trash. And if you don't live up to God's standards, you are going to bust hell wide open. We had to work our way into heaven. That's what we thought. It was all about works, by self-effort, by the law. And because of that, the church was just as miserable as the world was. There wasn't any joy in that type of teaching. There wasn't any victory in that type of teaching. It was all condemnation. Excuse me, I scratched my throat. Romans 15 and 13. In the Passion Translation says, "Now may God, the inspiration and the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His superabundance until you radiate with hope." Does that sound miserable? Does that sound miserable? When I finally grabbed a hold of this message of righteousness, I was changed forever. I was changed forever. If I had not grabbed a hold of this message of righteousness, I definitely would not be sitting up here today talking to you. I would still be at home in my recliner wallowing in pig slop. But I had a real encounter with the God of grace and with the God of mercy. And I realized that God is not angry at me. And He never will be. Right after the famous Isaiah 53, that we know he was bruised, he was chastised, by His stripes we are healed. Right after Isaiah 53, we know that Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. But he tells us the results from chapter 53 and chapter 54. Let's look at Isaiah 54, 6 through 10. "For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment." Now listen to this. "But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth," listen, "so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you." God told us, "I swear, I will never be angry with you again. And my kindness will never depart from you." That is so good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's good news. God will not break covenant. Lord, heal my throat. It is so scratchy. I bind that in Jesus' name. God will not break covenant, even though we have. Even though we will. He promised Noah, "I will never flood the earth by water again." And how many of you believe that promise? How many of you believe that promise? He gave Noah as a sign of that covenant. He gave us the sign of a rainbow. He give us a sign of the covenant as well. Our sign of the covenant is the cross. You know, a rainbow is not just a half circle. That's just what we see. We can't see all of it. Actually, a rainbow is a complete, never-ending circle. We just can't see all of it, and that's like God's grace. You'll never see all of God's grace. God said in this passage that for a moment I had to forsake you, and in a little wrath I hid myself from you. But now we have the covenant of the cross. He will no longer choose to deal with us in wrath. James 1:19-20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You can't use wrath to scare someone into doing right. They'll only conform out of fear. It's the goodness, Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, not his wrath. You see, fear of his wrath will cause men to hide from him, and it won't change their heart. They hide out of fear. But his goodness changes the heart. That's the finished work of Jesus Christ. His amazing goodness changes us. And God swears that by Jesus and the perfect work of the cross, he'll never be mad at us again. That's good news. I'll never let my kindness depart from you. I'll never punish you again. Why, Pastor Marty? Because he already did it to Jesus on the cross for you. Jesus fixed it. He's not talking to the unbeliever here. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to his righteous ones. Jesus fixed it. You don't have to fear wrath. You don't have to be ridden with guilt and with shame that keeps you from receiving God's blessings, that keeps you from receiving God's goodness. Jesus ended all of that on the cross for those who believe unto righteousness. And that will mess with your religion if you'll let it. If you'll let it. We need to be less sin conscious and more righteous conscious. We need to be established in righteousness, or as the Passion Translation said, enlightened in righteousness. Isaiah 54:14-15, listen. In righteousness, you shall be established.
That's right.
You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you, my righteous ones. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall. For your sake, if you are established in his righteousness, the enemy may come against you. The enemy may assemble against you, but God says they'll fall. The enemy may tell you that you're unworthy. The enemy may tell you that you're trash. The enemy may tell you that you're not good enough, that you don't add up. Your neighbor may tell you to just give up. But the oppression, depression, fear, terror cannot come near you because you are established. You are grounded in righteousness. But most people don't live that way, do they? Most believers don't live that way, do they? Oh, oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Everybody, whoa! Does God still love me? Does God still love me? I messed up so many times. Does God still love me? Does he still accept me? Is he mad at me? And if you think like that, it's just because you were not established or you were not enlightened to his righteousness in you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness comes from an old English root word meaning right standing. Or as originally intended. Right standing in the Word of God means that you have the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, any sense of fear, any sense of shame. Get this, as if sin never existed in your life. God chooses, listen, God chooses not to see you as a forever sinner saved by grace. Righteousness means God sees you as if you have never sinned. Because he sees you in Christ. And he sees Christ in you. That's good news. That's why he says you can come boldly into the throne room of grace. He sees his righteousness in you through the cross of Jesus Christ when you come into the throne room of grace. He goes on to say in verse 17 of Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I read that right, didn't I? You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, well, their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon that may attack my mind, no weapon that may attack my body, no weapon that may attack my family will prosper. It ain't got no power no more. I condemn that attack on my life because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And my authority, I have that authority. My authority says that it has to leave. God says, your righteousness is of me. That may have been your past, but that's not who you are anymore. Your righteousness doesn't come from you anymore. That would be self-righteous. Your righteousness comes from him. Your authority, your identity comes from him. So then what you need to do is you need to kick the grave robbers out of your life. You need to kick the grave robbers out of your mind. You need to kick the grave robbers out of your family, and because they keep trying to dig up that old man and that old woman out of your past. And verse 7 says, you condemn that thing because I've given you the authority, because you are my righteous ones. You are my righteousness. You now operate in righteousness, in his authority. James 5:15-16 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a pitiful man avails much. Do you know what it said? No, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The fervent prayer of someone who is enlightened to this message of righteousness accomplishes much. Who knows who they are in Christ? Who knows who their identity is? Now, many times we'll quote the scripture. We're good at quoting the scripture to our problems, and we may quote the scripture to our problems and we'll speak this word to our attacks, but we speak them out of fear and we speak them out of defeat and not out of a position of authority. We don't speak them out of a place of righteousness. We don't speak them out of a place of right standing. When you know who you are in Christ and you operate out of that position, that's when you can speak to those things that be not as though they were, and you will see it come to pass in your life, and you will see the enemy turn loose of that grip on your mind, of your will, of your emotions. Because you speak from a place of righteousness. And I just lost my microphone. 1 second. I love this next scripture. It's foundational. It sums up the good news of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, in the Passion Translation, we're not videoing today, thank God. We're just recording, so they don't see me doing this. The Passion Translation says, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us. Yeah. So that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. You can't do anything to earn this. You can't do anything to work for this. It was gifted to you for just believing. And our human minds have a hard time receiving something for nothing. Where's the catch, Pastor Marty? There's got to be a catch. Nobody gives me something for nothing. That's just it. There is no catch. It factually happened in the spirit realm. God didn't say, okay, if you follow me and if you believe in me, then I'm just going to pretend that you have right standing. And we just won't bring up your past anymore. It's still out there, but we just won't bring it up anymore. Okay, is that a deal? No. He sent Jesus to die on a Roman cross, and Jesus took your unrighteousness, and he gave you his righteousness. You don't have it anymore. It don't belong to you anymore. You don't have it anymore. Jesus does. Your unrighteousness is gone. Your past is gone. You can't be judged for it ever again. win. That would be called double jeopardy. Jesus is not going to punish you again. The problem comes is when you are not established in righteousness and you keep bringing it up. You keep bringing up your past. You keep bringing up your weaknesses. You keep bringing up your past sins. What about this? What about that, Pastor Marty? What about this? What about that? What about you just get established in righteousness and realize that you are forgiven? You have been pardoned. You are righteous. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, not halfway free. You are as righteous. Listen, you are as righteous as you will ever be. You can't work to become more righteous. You are as righteous as you'll ever be. You are as righteous as you ever were. And hold on to your seat. I'm fixing to mess with your mind. You are as righteous as Jesus. What did he just say? You are as righteous as Jesus because he gave you his righteousness and he took yours. You stand before God as if you have never sinned. Now, did I say you are as holy? Did I say, now he does tell us to be ye holy as I am holy, but did I say you are as powerful? Did I say you are as majestic? Did I say that you were God? No. But you are as righteous as Jesus because he gave you his righteousness. And that will mess with your thinking if you'll let it. Galatians 3:13. Yet Christ paid the full price to see us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is cursed. Jesus became our curse from the law. So you have to decide what you really believe here. Either he really did redeem me and I go live in grace and righteousness, or he didn't really redeem me and I go and live my life trying to fulfill the whole of the law and fail miserably. Remember Romans 10:4 earlier said Jesus is the end of the law. He is the end of the curse. He's the end of the law for your healing. He's the end of the law for your deliverance. He's the end of the law for your anxiety. He's the end of the law of all the curses of the law. The struggle should stop here. And as Angela preached years ago, this is where you should be able to rest in this. You should be able to reign from this seat of authority. Romans 5:17. Death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, everybody say now.
Now.
How much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus the Messiah. Are you reigning as kings in life? Are you enjoying your regal freedom? Or are you struggling in your works? Just trying to do enough. Just trying to be enough. You know, and I know some of you are thinking, but Pastor Marty, you just don't know my past. You just don't know what I struggle with. What about this? What about that? But this, but that, But this, that's just it. There are no buts. There are no buts in this. Either you will concentrate on your failures, or you will concentrate on the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. When you open your eyes to righteousness through grace in this Word of God, you will begin to see this Word in a whole new light. You will begin to see the law and faith and righteousness and grace. It'll be everywhere. But we've become so sin conscious. We've become too sin conscious to see it. So we have to change our stinking thinking and become more grace conscious, more mercy conscious, more righteous conscious, because you were made to be righteous. You were made to be the righteousness of God in Christ. In Genesis, the Trinity said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then the Bible says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The very thing that makes God be God, he breathed into man. Yeah. And Adam messed that up. And Eve messed that up. But Jesus fixed it. Jesus restored us to a place of right standing with God. He made us to be his righteousness. And I know I've used this illustration before, but a lot of people hadn't seen it, and it drives home my point. Now, I have three $20 bills right here. Three $20 bills. One here. One here. And one here. Now, the government made these. The government of the United States made these $20 bills and said that they are worth $20 each. Now, you can go buy a hamburger. Probably about all you can buy with it nowadays. You can buy you a few gallons of gas. You can buy you a couple of T-bombs. And you can do that all because the government made them and said that this is what they are worth, right? Because somewhere in the Federal Reserve Building, down deep in the vault of the Federal Reserve Building, there is some gold there that backs this up, that represents this $20, right? There is a gold bar in the Federal Reserve that says, because of me, you are worth $20. Follow me. Like these bills, you were made by God. You were made by God because there is a gold bar named Jesus in the banks of heaven that says you are his righteousness, that you are to represent him on earth. Correct?
Right.
But something's wrong with this one. Something's wrong with this one. I mean, it's dirty. It's muddy. It's messy. This one has been through the mud of life. This one's seen some things. This one has been passed from one slop house to another. It's been been through some hard times. And he's showing that it's made some mistakes along the way. That it's been handed from one crack house to another. It's showing. It's been rode hard and put up wet. Now the second one, it's just flat worn out. It's just, you know, I'm gonna see through it. It's been through some things. Its past is weighing heavy on its present. And it feels like it's just about washed up. It feels unworthy to be used anymore. It feels unworthy to be called $20. It feels unworthy to represent that gold bar anymore because it's been through some stuff. This one. Close your eyes, Joshua. He works at a bank. This one. Has been broken. It's been broken by life. It's been through some things that it just don't think it can recover from. And it just don't feel worthy. Because of bad decisions and bad relationships, this one has been torn in two. Can anybody relate to these bills? Who wants this one? Okay. But listen to me for just a second. Why would you want this? It's muddy. Listen, it's muddy. It's dirty. Why would you want this? If you touch this, you might get the dirt on you. It might get messy. Why would you want this? Because it's worth $20. Because it's worth $20. What about this one that's all worn up, who's all worn out? Huh? Huh? But it's, look at it. I mean, you can almost see through it. But why would you want it? You know it's, what? She knows its value. It's still worth $20. Who wants it?
I
didn't. Huh? You've seen this before.
Oh.
Who wants this? Why? It's torn. It's torn.
It can be mended.
It's torn. Because there's a cross. There's a cross. This is, I fixed it. And no matter what it's been through, it's still worth $20. Because there's a gold bar in the Federal Reserve that says it's worth it. It's worth it. It's still worth $20. It doesn't matter how life has tore you up. It doesn't matter if it's chewed you up or spit you out. It doesn't matter if you've been to one crack house from one to another. It doesn't matter if you've been from one prison to another prison. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you slept with. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. When you come to him and you say, Jesus, I give you my life, he says, you're worth it. You are still who he made you to be. Ooh, I got lightheaded on that one. Woo. You are still the righteousness of God. Because there is a gold bar in the bank of heaven by the name of Jesus that says, because I am worth it, you are worth it. And you are the representation. You are the representation of me on earth. You are my righteousness. You're not some poor, pitiful sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace. And now you stand with authority as the righteousness. You can go ahead and come on, Angel. And it's not because of what you've been through. And it's not because of what you've done. But it's all because of what he did. It's all because of what Jesus did for you and now wants to do through you. When you were born of the Spirit, when you got saved the way we like to say it, you became just as righteous as you will ever be. You can't work to get any more righteous, because you now walk around with the righteousness of Christ on your life. Now listen very closely. You can grow in Christ. I'm not saying you have arrived, by no means. You can grow in Christ. You can manure, I almost said manure. You can mature in Christ. You can become closer and closer to him. Every day, his grace never runs out. His goodness never runs out. We can grow in him, and we can grow in our walk with him. You can become filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can grow and grow and grow in his authority, in his power. But you are as righteous as you will ever be. All because Jesus fixed it that way. Now listen very closely to me. I don't want you to understand me at all in this. This does not give you the liberty to live however you want to live and think it's okay. This is not a license to sin. If you think that, you've missed the whole point of grace and righteousness. You've missed the whole point of the cross. When you are walking in your authority in Christ, when you are walking in your righteousness, you take control of this flesh nature, this sin nature, and you no longer want to sin. You no longer give the enemy an inch.
You no longer want to let this flesh man control you anymore because you are the righteousness of God. But do we still make mistakes? Yes. Do we still fall? Yes, because unfortunately we still live in a flesh suit. We still live in a sin-natured suit. But when we do fall and we do make mistakes as the righteousness of Christ, we don't run into guilt and we don't run into shame. We run straight to the cross. Say, Daddy, I messed up. Not with our head held low because we're so beat down with guilt and shame. Because we're coming to a Father who loves and cares about His children. Daddy, I messed up. I need you. I need you. Wrapping this up. Everything that I've said in a nutshell. The gospel, the good news, is about unholy people becoming holy and righteous because of a pure, holy, righteous Jesus. But the sad thing is, there's more grace in the world than there is in the church. You know, the church can be some of the cruelest, meanest people that there is sometimes. We're bad about shooting our wounded soldiers. We like to operate on baseball grace. 3 strikes and you're out. But here at Summit, our mission is to reign like Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants. But it's also to love like Jesus. Because we believe in that word right there. Restoration. We believe people that can come in here that have messed up time and time again and time and time again and probably going to mess up again tomorrow. And they can come in here and get another chance. Not a second chance. Not a third chance. But another chance. Because we see things differently now. We walk in His righteousness. We walk in His authority. But we also walk in His love. We walk in His grace.
Thanks for joining us today at Summit Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.